VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America as we talk about critical issues. And folks, we're going to indeed focus on another critical issue as we take a look at God's plan for the ages, what is to come as well. Have you ever wondered what the world would be like, what it's going to look like in the last days? What would be the major power during that time? Well, one significant insight that the Bible provides us is giving a look at New Babylon. Did you know that more than one-tenth of the book of Revelation is devoted to prophecies about this city? As a matter of fact, Babylon plays a critically important role in the Bible. We're here to discuss the matter with us today. We welcome back Ron Rhodes. Ron is president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries, a keynote speaker at conferences across the country. He's the author of, well, scores of books, and over a million books have been sold, many, many different topics dealing with apologetics as well as Bible prophecy, Bible study, and others. But he's with us today discussing his newest book, New Babylon Rising. Ron, so good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to be with you today.
Ron, I believe it's really foundational for our discussion to enter, as we enter this debate on Bible prophecy, there's debate, I should say, going on as to how Bible prophecy is to be interpreted. There's different views on this. So as we set this foundation for this program, as you approach Bible prophecy, what do you believe is a biblical approach to how it is to be interpreted?
Well, my basic policy through all the prophecy books that I have written is when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up in nonsense. And then I go into a little bit more detail with people. If you really want to understand how God will fulfill prophecy in the future, take a look at how God has fulfilled prophecy in the past, because God is perfectly consistent. And when you look at all the prophecies of the first coming of Christ, they came literally to pass. You know, for example, Christ was to come from the line of Abraham, Genesis 12. From the line of David, 2 Samuel 7, he was to be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. In Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, he was to be pierced for our sins, Zechariah 12:10. And there's over 90 more just like that. And all of those came to pass literally, and I believe that all the prophecies that deal with the second coming and all the events related to it will be fulfilled just as literally. And I believe that while Jerusalem means Jerusalem, while Israel means Israel, so I also believe that Babylon means Babylon. And I don't think this to be metaphorically interpreted as New York City or, you know, some of these other interpretations that people have. And especially since what you said is true, so much of the book of Revelation deals with the city of New Babylon. In fact, you know, out of the over 400 verses in Revelation, 40 of them deal with New Babylon. To me, that means that this is one of those topics we can't afford to ignore. When you have that much prophecy dealing with one subject, well, that's a subject that the Lord wants us to know about.
Indeed. And in your book, as a matter of fact, you talk about how Babylon has played a critical, important role throughout Scripture. And sometimes our mind goes to King Nebuchadnezzar and the book of Daniel, but the impact of Babylon goes far beyond this, both on both sides of Daniel.
Well, that's right. All throughout history, Babylon has been a city that has stood against God. And we go all the way back to Nimrod as a good example, and it's kind of interesting to me because when you look at Nimrod, you sort of see a foreshadowing of the future Antichrist during New Babylon. Here's what I mean when I say that. Nimrod was the political head of Babylon, just as the Antichrist will be the political head of New Babylon. Nimrod promoted false religion, just as the Antichrist will promote false religion. Nimrod's name means rebel, and that foreshadows the Antichrist as a rebel against God. Nimrod was a hunter of human beings. The Antichrist will likewise hunt down Christians and also Jews during the tribulation period. Nimrod was a constant enemy of Israel. The Antichrist will be against Israel. And so just as ancient Babylon was anti-God and anti-God's people, the same will be true during the tribulation period in terms of New Babylon. And it's critically important to understand this, because if you don't understand this, a whole lot of the book of Revelation just doesn't make good sense.
Yeah. You actually indicate Jerusalem is the number one city in the Bible, Babylon number two, but these are two cities of some pretty great contrast. Tell us about those contrasts.
Well, there's a lot of contrast. You know, Jerusalem is a city that literally means city of peace. Of course, as you look at recent history, it's been anything but a city of peace, but really that's what the name means, city of peace. And by contrast, Babylon means city of confusion and city of war. And so they're antithetical to each other. Jerusalem is portrayed as God's city in the Bible. And even when you go into the book of Revelation chapter 21, we read about the new Jerusalem, which will be God's eternal city where you and I will live forever. And in contrast, Babylon is portrayed not as God's city, but as a demonic city. We read in Scripture that God's temple was built in Jerusalem. And in fact, during the tribulation period, there will be a new temple built in Jerusalem. And by contrast, the Tower of Babel, representing the anti-God movement of Nimrod, full of paganism and anti-God religion, characterized Babylon of ancient times. And just as the book of Revelation describes the New Jerusalem as a chaste bride, so New Babylon is described as a great prostitute. New Jerusalem is eternal. That's the eternal city that Christ is building and that one day we will be raptured up to. New Babylon, by contrast, is a temporal city that God will destroy towards the end of the seven-year tribulation period. That's one of the reasons why, Jim, I talk about the Bible in terms of being a tale of two cities, Jerusalem and Babylon. But, you know, when most people look at the Bible, they almost totally ignore Babylon.
Right, right.
I'm wondering why that is.
Yeah, that's a good question, because as you point out and in your book, Babylon is so prevalent throughout Scripture. And we're talking both ancient Babylon and that of New Babylon. And how do those two compare, what we've seen in ancient Babylon versus that which is to come in New Babylon?
Well, they line up perfectly. You know, ancient Babylon was both a religious center and a political center, and New Babylon will be the same way. Now, when you look at Babylon, one of the best places that you can go is the book of Daniel. Now, I've written a book on Daniel. I know a lot about that book, and Babylon is absolutely prevalent in the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel is one of two apocalyptic books in the Bible. The other book is Revelation. And so Daniel and Revelation belong together when we're interpreting the end times. But let me just give you a couple of parallels that exist between the Babylon of ancient times under Daniel and New Babylon in the end times. As I mentioned previously, ancient Babylon promoted false religion. New Babylon will do the same. Ancient Babylon, during Daniel's time, was an important commercial center. New Babylon will be a commercial powerhouse. Nebuchadnezzar and the ancient Babylonians were dominant over the Jewish people and the temple. Likewise, the Antichrist in New Babylon will be dominant over the Jewish people. You might recall how Nebuchadnezzar defiled the Jewish temple by plundering all the sacred objects.
Yes.
Well, the Antichrist will also defile the tribulation temple, but he'll do it even worse. He'll set up a statue of himself within the Jewish temple. And just as idolatry was rampant back in Daniel's Babylon, so idolatry will be rampant in New Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had religious assistants. They were occultists. And likewise, the Antichrist will have a religious assistant in New Babylon called the false prophet. And just as an image was erected representing the authority and the status of Nebuchadnezzar, you know that tall statue that I'm talking about?
Yes.
So the Antichrist will place an image of himself in the Jewish temple. I mean, Jim, I could just go on and on here. But all throughout history, from the Old Testament and into the New Testament, Babylon has been anti-God and anti-God's people. And so it makes good sense when we're reading about the future tribulation period and we want to understand the bad things that are coming upon the earth. It makes good sense that God would tell us about New Babylon, because it will play an absolutely prevalent role during that future tribulation period. Now, the great news, Jim, is that I believe that you and I as Christians will be taken out by the rapture prior to that time. But as good a news as that is, there will be many people who become Christians and become believers during the seven-year tribulation period. And those individuals will confront New Babylon face-to-face. I mean, they will know what the city is like. And so this is not just relevant for us today in understanding the end times, but it's especially relevant for believers who live during that time and want to know exactly what God has to say about it.
New Babylon Rising is the title of the book. Ron Rhodes, the author, our guest today here on Crosstalk. And Ron, in your very first chapter, you present that end times chronology from our present time to the millennium. When does New Babylon emerge on the scene of this chronology?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there's two different aspects of the New Babylon, and the first is the religious aspect, and the second is the political aspect. Now, it's real important to understand the distinction between these two, because if you don't, you're going to get a little bit confused. The religious aspect of New Babylon emerges in the first half of the tribulation period. And you're going to have a situation where a false religion becomes so predominant that it will initially hold sway even over the Antichrist. A lot of people are surprised to hear that, but this religion associated with New Babylon will be so powerful that it will initially be dominant even over the Antichrist. But what we learn from Scripture is that at the midpoint of the tribulation period, the Antichrist and his forces will destroy this false religion. Now, why will he do that? He will do that because he wants to be worshipped exclusively on planet Earth. The new religion that will come about after New Babylon, as religion gets destroyed, is the religion of the Antichrist. And he'll set up an image of himself in the Jewish temple. He will seek to make the whole world worship him. The false prophet will seek to get everybody to take the mark of the beast, showing their loyalty to the Antichrist. And so at that point, the big emphasis in New Babylon switches. No longer is it a part of a false religion, but what happens at that point is that it becomes more political and more commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand, Jim, that this is something that actually often happens in the world. You know, one way to look at it is this. If you're looking at a big business, you know, very often big businesses have an emphasis on the idea you either adapt or you die.
Right.
Out with the old and in with the new. We can look at 15 top 500 companies today who started out selling one thing or promoting one thing and ending up switching its emphasis. For example, Wrigley's used to promote soap and baking powder, and they gave gum to people on the side just as a promotional tool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the gum became much more popular, so they switched. They either adapted or died. They switched to gum, and they threw out the soap and the baking powder. Adapt or die. That's the whole policy, and that's exactly what will happen with New Babylon. Once the Antichrist sets up its own religion and forces people to worship him, it's out with the old and in with the new. No longer will New Babylon focus on being a false religion, but now it will focus on being an absolute powerful political and economic powerhouse.
And we're going to get more into that economic powerhouse after the break. Ron Rhodes, our guest today, president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministries. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Our topic today, New Babylon Rising.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about Neanderthal man?
Chris, from a biblical perspective, Neanderthal man was a human just like me or you. They evidently were an ethnic group that migrated away from Babel, living in very harsh conditions, but were human nonetheless. Archaeological discoveries have shown that they used agriculture, they buried their dead, they had art, musical instruments, they were humans just like me and you. Those who assigned them to subhuman categories suggested that they didn't have the right kind of hands to use tools, but a recent study has shown that they had thumb and forefingers just like ours with just as much dexterity. In every sense, they were as human as you and me, descendants of Noah, souls for whom Christ died. Going back to Genesis makes all the data fit so well.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you. listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ron Rhodes is with us today. And folks, we're really just going to scratch the surface on this book, New Babylon Rising, The Emerging End Times World Order. I just want to make mention that our VCY bookstore has a number of unique offers or books of the month, and every month it changes that rotation of books, and it just so happened that New Babylon Rising, it's subtitled The Emerging End Times World Order, is one of their featured books of the month. And as such, this book, which normally retails for $16.99, they are reducing this book this month only through September 30th, 50% off. And so as such, for this month only, they have this book available for just $8.50, plus any applicable tax, or if you need it shipped to you, you'll have to, they'll tell you what that shipping expense is, but half off through September 30th. And if you'd like to obtain a copy or copies of this book to share with others, you can visit the website vcy.com. That'll take you right to our bookstore, vcy.com. And through September 30th, they have it reduced by 50%. Or if you don't have access to the web, you'd like to call, the toll-free number there is 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829 during regular business hours, but you'll have to be patient. There's just a single line going in there. But to obtain the book, you can get it fastest going online, vcy.com, or calling 1-888-722-4829. So Ron Rhodes with us today. He's authored this book. And Ron, we're talking about New Babylon Rising, and you were talking about that religious system, but how things are going to take a turn into becoming a political powerhouse, and talking more about the commercial side of this. And you actually have a chapter on the mark of the beast, the coming cashless society. How does that enter into our discussion of New Babylon?
Well, it's all closely connected. It's kind of like pieces on a puzzle. You know, I mean, they just connect in different ways. And what I try to do in my book is not just to tell you about the individual prophecies, but I try to connect them for you so that you can understand how they all relate to each other. Mm-hmm. And I've seen far too many books on Babylon that don't mention the mark of the beast at all. But here's the thing. We know from the book of Revelation in chapter 18 that commercial New Babylon will purchase products from all over the world, such that people all around the world will become rich by selling their products to commercial New Babylon. New Babylon will become a commercial powerhouse, incredibly wealthy. But the thing of it is that who is able to buy or sell during the tribulation period? Well, in the second half of the tribulation, the only people who can buy or sell are those who have taken the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is basically a sign of loyalty to the Antichrist. And you can't take the mark of the beast with your eyes closed. I mean, people will know what they're doing. The choice will be set before them. You either receive the mark of the beast, after which you can buy or sell, or you refuse the mark of the beast. And what that means, practically speaking, Jim, is if you receive the mark of the beast, you'll be able to buy food. Mm. If you don't receive the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy food.
Wow.
Now, of course, the people who won't receive the mark of the beast are believers. And so there's going to be a lot of believers who die during the tribulation period. Some of them will be killed directly by either the Antichrist or New Babylon, but some of them may starve to death as well. And so really what this amounts to is it is kind of like a commercial squeeze play. And by this squeeze play, the Antichrist controls who can buy or sell, and what that ultimately means is that the only people who are selling to New Babylon and getting rich off of New Babylon are those who have already taken the mark of the beast. Now, wait just a minute. How does the cashless society idea fit in here? Well, ask this question. How would it be possible for the mark of the beast to be successful unless there were a cashless society? You see, if people still use dollar bills, then you could still give dollar bills to people kind of under the table, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
But if our society was cashless, if there were no more dollar bills, and if every store had an account number, and every person had a personal account number, then that means that whoever is not in the master database of the Antichrist as being one of his followers, those people will not be able to shop or buy at any establishment that is controlled by the Antichrist. And then that's basically going to be all establishments. And so what this means is that the current emphasis in our world today toward a cashless society is actually setting the stage for not only the mark of the beast, but for the global success of New Babylon. And by the way, Jim, let me just mention to you that even today we are using 70% less cash than we did 10 years ago. In fact, one of the major economic leaders of our day has said that in the next 5 or 10 years or so, it's entirely possible that if you try to use cash in a store in the United States, you may well be charged a surcharge.
Wow.
And so that's where we're headed. There are actually already entire countries that have gone cashless, and the United States is a little bit behind the times on that, but that's where we're headed. You know, even today, most people get their paychecks electronically.
Mm-hmm.
When you're driving down the highway today, you have tolls that are taken out of your credit card. Many people file taxes online today. Many people will shop at the store and order their goods online and then pay for it online, and then somebody will come deliver your food. So, I mean, even today, we already have a tremendous emphasis on going cashless, but one day, it's going to be entirely cashless.
Ron, on page 155 in your book, you tell about IBM's supercomputer called the Sequoia. To me, it was really fascinating to read of its capabilities, but share that with our listeners, if you would.
Well, it is a supercomputer, and it's so fast that it can easily do 20,000 trillion calculations per second. And I asked the question, how fast is that? Well, you can look at it this way. If you had billions of people on planet Earth all using electronic calculators to work together on one massive calculation, and they were all working 24/7, 365 days a year, it would take them more than 300 years to do what Sequoia can do in a single hour.
Wow, wow.
Now, that's the kind of computer power that will make it easy for the Antichrist to control the entire world's economy.
My mind can't even comprehend that.
Well, me neither, you know, but I mean, when you think about it, it's just mind-boggling. But the technology that we have today is actually greasing the skids for the emergence of the end times.
Hmm. Yet, you're right that this commercial New Babylon, this powerhouse New Babylon, they're going to suffer destruction. Tell us about that.
Well, it will suffer destruction, and this is one of the things that people living during the world during that time are not going to really count on, but the fact is, it is coming. One of the things that Scripture indicates is that during the primary 3 years of the second half of the tribulation, Babylon will experience prosperity. The Antichrist will experience prosperity, even though God's, you know, judgments are falling. But the fact is that judgment is building up all during these years. And what God indicates is that he's going to basically even the score for the role that Babylon has played for all of these centuries in being anti-God. And when you look at it, it's going to be a horrific thing. Now, I'm not an alarmist, and I'm not a sensationalist, but one of the things that we read about in the book of Revelation is smoke coming up from the city and destruction by fire. And we also read that Babylon will actually be destroyed quickly. In other words, it's not going to be something that takes place over weeks and weeks and weeks, as in a war, but rather in a single day, Babylon will go up in flames. Now, there are some interpreters who think, you know, is this referring to a nuclear attack against New Babylon? Or is God going to inflict his own fire? It could be either way. But one of the things that we do notice in Bible prophecy is that God often uses existing countries with their weaponry to bring judgment against other countries.
Yes.
For example, God used both Babylon and Assyria in disciplining his people of Israel. You see, and he used their existing weaponry in invading Jerusalem. So is it possible that God may use a country in our world today, maybe even a Western country like the United States or some other country, to inflict this kind of nuclear damage on New Babylon such that it goes up in flames in a single day. It's a possibility, but here's one thing to think about. God warns his people to make sure they get out of Babylon quick. Just like God did in Old Testament times, God warns people in terms of New Babylon during the tribulation period to get out of the city because judgment is about to fall. And this takes place right towards the end of the tribulation period. And I have to tell you, Jim, there's going to be like a cheering squad up in heaven when this happens. Everybody who witnesses this take place from up in heaven, and that includes all the martyrs who have been put to death during the tribulation period, will look down upon what has happened, and they will absolutely rejoice. You know, that's one of the things that the book of Revelation is real clear about. And the only reason they rejoice is not because they like to see people die, but because of how anti-God Babylon has been throughout all of its history. And even in the end times, we read that New Babylon's streets will be paved by the blood of God's people. So even during that time, it's going to be just unbelievably anti-God and anti-God's people.
How does Armageddon fit into all of this?
Well, I believe that this judgment against Babylon is actually a part of the unfolding of Armageddon. And a lot of people tend to think that Armageddon is a single battle that comes and goes in an instant. But the fact is that Armageddon is an ongoing campaign. And as an ongoing campaign, there's a number of different stages that take place. And one of those stages is the destruction of Babylon. And I place this as the number two stage in the unfolding of Armageddon. And, you know, once God takes care of destroying Babylon during this time, it continues. Babylon is destroyed, but the campaign of Armageddon continues when the Antichrist, for example, not only moves against to Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem, but also moves south of Jerusalem against the remnant of the Jews who have been rescued by the Lord. And right as they're about to get destroyed by the forces of the Antichrist, the Jewish people basically convert and they recognize that Jesus truly is the divine Messiah that has been promised throughout the millennia. They turn to him, they cry out for deliverance from the forces of the Antichrist, and it's at that point that the second coming of Jesus Christ occurs. And Jim, you know, a lot of people don't think of the second coming as a rescue mission, and certainly the second coming is more than a rescue mission, but one aspect of the second coming is that it will involve a rescue mission on behalf of the Jewish remnant that turns to the Lord right before the second coming. And those people will be invited into Christ's millennial kingdom where God will fulfill the ancient promises that God made with Abraham and with David. And I'm talking about the land promises and the throne promises. More specifically, God promised Israel a land, and they will be given that land in the millennial kingdom. And God promised that one of his descendants would reign on the throne of David. And that will be fulfilled when Christ himself reigns from Jerusalem. And so, I mean, everything is falling into place just like the ancient prophets said. This is where we're headed. The stage is being set for us today, and it's going to continue.
Ron Rhodes with us. Folks, I've got a couple more questions, and then we'll be going to our phone lines. We'll open those here in just a few moments. But fascinating discussion as we look at New Babylon Rising, the Emerging End Times World Order. Again, we'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of the book at a great reduction here right after the break. This is Crosstalk.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Our guest today is Ron Rose, Rhodes, president of Reasoning from the Scripture Ministries, and we're talking about his latest book, New Babylon Rising, The Emerging End Times World Order. And just for this month of September 2019 only, our VCY bookstore has this book reduced by half, 50% off, normally $16.99 plus shipping, but they are offering this book at 50% off. They have it for $8.50 plus any applicable tax or shipping. You can visit vcy.com, vcy.com. That will be your quickest, or call 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. Ron, just a couple more questions, and you know I just mentioned one here during the break, and that is we see a term in Scripture called Mystery Babylon, and people have given various ideas as to what this is. Who or what do you believe this is referring to?
Well, let me say that there are a lot of opinions, and I've got some good friends who have some different opinions on this, and I still love them as good friends, and we sort of agree to disagree on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that Mystery Babylon is a term that does not actually occur in the Bible, at least in most Bibles. The term does occur in the King James Version in Revelation 17, verse 5. And based on this reference to Mystery Babylon, it is assumed it must be a metaphor, maybe for America, maybe for New York, maybe for Jerusalem, maybe for Mecca, maybe for Rome or the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, there's just a lot of different opinions on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There's not a single modern translation other than the King James and the New King James that make reference to Mystery Babylon. And let me just give you an example, if I could. Maybe I can give you an analogy that will help you to understand what's going on here. Consider this sentence. On her forehead was written a strange name, Kylie Wiley. Well, consider another sentence. On her forehead was written a name, Strange Kylie Wiley. In one case, Kylie Wiley's name is viewed as strange. In another case, Kylie Wiley herself is said to be strange. Now you can see how the meaning changes depending on where you place the word strange.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, your view of Revelation 17:5 changes depending on where you place the word mystery. Now, modern translations say something like this. On her forehead was written a mysterious name. The King James, by contrast, says, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon.
Mm.
Two completely different meanings. You see, the thing is, Jim, is that in the original Greek, the term mystery and name are both neuter in the Greek. They belong together, whereas the term Babylon is feminine. You would expect both Babylon and mystery to be of the same gender if, in fact, they belong together. This is the reason why all modern translations say that these words don't belong together. And what it comes down to is this. There is no Mystery Babylon in the Bible. Rather, the name given to Babylon is mysterious.
Hmm.
And so, you know, this is just one of those controversial areas where Christians are going to have to agree to disagree in an agreeable way. But I really think that this view is faithful to the original Greek. And you might wonder, in what way is Babylon's name mysterious? Well, a mystery in the Bible refers to something that was not revealed in Old Testament times, but has now been revealed in New Testament times. The rapture, for example, is a mystery. It wasn't revealed in Old Testament times, but in the New Testament, it is revealed. Likewise, in the Old Testament, we only knew a certain amount about Babylon. But in the New Testament, in Revelation 17, Babylon is given a new name that indicates that ultimately Babylon is the source of all false religion and false ideas in the entire world. That's the mystery that's now been revealed that was not revealed back in Old Testament times. So that's what I see going on here, Jim. And what that means is that I interpret Babylon as a literal city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this as referring to New York City or to America. The fact is that every other city mentioned in the book of Revelation is a literal city. And one of the very interesting things, if I might mention it, is that John, in the book of Revelation draws very heavily from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 51. In chapter 51 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah speaks about God's future judgment of Babylon that hasn't been fulfilled yet. It's going to happen in the tribulation period. And Jeremiah is referring to the literal city of Babylon, not to some kind of metaphor of New York or America or Jerusalem or some other metaphor, but he's talking about literal Babylon along the Euphrates. And John, in the book of Revelation, I think, is doing the same thing. He's talking about a revived Babylon that will be a powerhouse during the end times under the Antichrist. And so, again, I know Christians have different views on some of this, but to me, when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up in some form of nonsense. And so that's the policy as I follow here.
Ryan Rhodes with us here today. And by the way, our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Ron, there are sometimes, when you're talking about commercial Babylon, we talk about the mark of the beast and not being able to buy or sell. Sometimes people will listen into topics like this and come away feeling frightened. Should that be our takeaway, that we should be in fear about this?
No, in fact, I talk about that in the book. We should not be in fear about this. When God wrote, or when John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this revelation that was given by God to Jesus, and then Jesus gave it to his own angel who delivered it to John, the purpose of that revelation was to bring comfort to God's people. Now, back during the time when the book of Revelation was written, God's people were being persecuted and martyred. See, they were already suffering greatly. And one of the things that you come away from in reading the book of Revelation is that God wins. In fact, as my old friend Walter Martin used to put it, I read the last chapter in the book, and we win.
Yeah, amen.
And the point is that that's the same thing that you and I need to keep in mind. Now, look at the world today. Don't you think there's a lot in the world that makes people depressed? I mean, you look at terrorism, you look at the economy, you look at the conflict that exists between nations, you look at political dissension and economic dissension. I mean, there is just so much in our world that is wrong today. But doesn't it bring you comfort to read a prophetic book that says, hey, not to worry, because in the end, God wins. And we're all going to be with the Lord in the end. Yeah. And I also think, Jim, about Jesus himself, when he spoke about prophecy, he always talked about being encouraged and being blessed through this understanding. Even when he was talking about the rapture in John 14, verses 1 to 3, he talked about how you shouldn't let your hearts get discouraged, you know, but rather you should focus on encouraging one another in view of the fact that God wins. Same thing is true in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Right there in verse 18, we're told to encourage one another with these prophetic truths that we're reading. And if you have any doubt whatsoever about what I'm saying, Jim, just go to Revelation 21 and 22. That's the end of the book, the end of prophecy. And that talks about, those chapters talk about what it's going to be like for Christians in the end. And I dare anybody to read those chapters and not feel awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Rhodes, our guest here today, and our lines are packed. We'll take as many calls as we're able to, but one of the things about reading Ron's books, those of you who have obtained some in the past, Ron makes it easy to understand. He's not writing in technical terms, but breaks it down to help us understand what the scriptures say. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Alex calling in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Alex, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing, brothers? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a quick question about the mystery Babylon. I heard the guest saying it's better explained or better worded in the original Greek. I was just wondering, what is the original Greek, and where could I get a copy of that maybe?
Well, what I would do if I were you is to get a parallel. Like, if you don't know Greek, you wouldn't understand the Greek that you were reading, but if you get, like, a parallel that's got the Greek word on one line, and then right above it, it has the translation into English, then that would help you. And even better, there are certain Greek commentaries like A.T. Robertson's Word Pictures and Vincent's Word Studies that are written for people who don't have extensive experience in the Greek. And what Robertson in particular will do is he'll actually parse some of those nouns. Now, when you look at Revelation 17, you see very clearly that the word mystery and the word name are the same gender. They're both neuter. And that means that they are appositives. And an appositive noun simply refers to a noun that explains the other noun. And so the name is mysterious. One word explains the other in the original Greek. The word mystery, by contrast, is a feminine gender. So that has nothing to do with the word mystery. Now, a commentary like A.T. Robertson's Word Pictures will help you to understand that. And that's a book, even though it's very old, it's very ancient. In fact, I think you can download free copies of it online. But that will help you to understand some of these fine distinctions.
Alex, thanks for the call. We're going next to Moundville, Missouri. Stephen, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. Thanks for taking my call, Jim. Ron, I wanted to ask you a question, please, sir. First of all, I wanted to tell you, I respect the hard work that people like yourself put into a book and a subject like this, where there's a lot of opinions, and I respect that. I wanted to thank you, but do you think that those folks that keep saying it's like New Babylon could be New York or whatever, do you think that's kind of like false prophet, or they're just trying to work through it with their own thoughts?
Okay, thank you, Stephen.
I don't think it's false prophets. A false prophet is somebody who claims to speak for God but gives a completely false prophecy that doesn't come true. These are interpretive issues, and I do believe that we have to approach prophecy with a spirit of humility, and I certainly want to do that myself. For example, if someone comes to me and shows me clear verses that show that I'm wrong, then I want to be able to repent and turn from whatever my wrong view is. Now, the policy that I find in interpretation is that when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up in nonsense. But based on the term mystery Babylon, some people conclude that that opens the door for an allegorical interpretation, and that's how they end up with New York City or America or Jerusalem or Mecca or some other interpretation. But if, in fact, the Bible does not refer to mystery Babylon, but it's only a mistranslation from the King James, well, that kind of changes everything, you know, when you're seeking to interpret what this is. But again, let's all approach this with a spirit of humility and not to accuse somebody who holds a different view as being a false prophet, but rather affirm them as a brother or a sister that simply holds to a different viewpoint. One example is my friend Joel Richardson holds that this is Mecca. I love Joel, but I think that this is not Mecca.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's as simple
call.
As that.
Appreciate it. We'll try and squeeze Stephen before the break. Stephen, Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
I got on the tail end of the conversation, so I apologize if you brought this up. But since Satan and is omnipotent, and neither is the the Antichrist. Since they're not omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, I think that I think that they'll use the social media, all the internet, and everything like Facebook, Twitter, and all that to have a database in all of us, because they want to mock God, since God is all that. They'll use this to keep track of all of us in the end for those that are left, and I think we're heading right into that, and it's great to have all this technology, but in the end it's going to be used against us.
Okay, thank you, Steve, for your thoughts. We'll be back with more with Ron Rhodes after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. America is under siege. Many experts, including Dr. Peter Pry, has declared that World War III started in the summer of 2018 when Russia attacked our power grid, hacking into our system. We have Dr. Kevin Freeman declaring we are already in World War III when it comes to economic warfare. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have formed their own banking system and are going after the American dollar. In fact, he did the Pentagon research for how, well, the crash of 2008 occurred, which involved foreign entities going after our stock market and Fannie and Freddie Mae. My friends, Americans need to wake up to the worldview war waging in America. We invite you to visit SiegeTheMovie.com and watch a free trailer, SiegeTheMovie.com. You're being given a lot of fake news, and Americans need to awaken to the fact that this is a worldview war, a spiritual battle at its very foundation.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ron Rhodes with us. His book, New Babylon Rising, again, just through September 30th. Our VCY bookstore has this at 50% off. It ends September 30th. You can go online at vcy.com, vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. They have it just for $8.50 plus any applicable tax and shipping. Ron, that caller before the break was talking about, he said, you know, Satan is not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. And you know, says all this information that's out there in social media is going to contribute to his knowledge work against us in that regard. But how is it that it seems that Satan knows so much?
Well, that is a good question. I think the one answer, even though there might be more than one answer, certainly one part of the answer would be the fact that just as there are rankings of good angels that are under Michael the Archangel, so there are also various ranks of fallen angels that are all over the world, and all of the fallen angels answer to one person, and that person is Satan. And so because you've got this massive network of demonic spirits around the world, that could actually give the appearance of Satan being omnipotent or omniscient. And if you haven't heard those words, it means all-powerful and all-knowing. So Satan may give that appearance, but in fact, he is a creature with creaturely limitations. Now, one connection that we need to understand is the connection between Satan and the Antichrist. Because in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, we are explicitly told that the Antichrist will be energized by Satan. And then in Revelation 13, we are told that the one person that gives the Antichrist his authority and his power is Satan. So in a way, the Antichrist will be a puppet of Satan. And so it may even appear sometimes that the Antichrist is omniscient or omnipotent, but in fact, he is not. Mm. He is a creature who is indwelt by another creature named Satan, and there's a massive network of demonic spirits who are feeding them intel, if I might put it that way. Just like our own government has intel under the CIA, so fallen angels provide intel to Satan, who then provides it to the Antichrist. So it might seem like the Antichrist is like a god on earth, which is what he wants to have happen, but in fact he is not.
Robert is calling from Glendale, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you very much, Brother Rhodes. I just got, there's a twofold question here. Several times in describing the tribulation period activity, you referred to Christians, and it seemed as though you were referring to them in the front-end portion of the seven-year period, which is divided by 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm curious of, and I don't think you're really proclaiming this, is that you think some Christians are not going to be raptured?
Oh, that's a great question. That's just a great question. I'm glad that you asked it very much. And let me just answer that real quick. I believe that all Christians will be raptured. And that takes place, I believe, before the tribulation period. In fact, when you look at 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and John 14 and Revelation 3:10, all of these verses indicate that the church will be raptured and taken out before the wrath to come. The church is to be delivered from the wrath to come. So that indicates to me that all Christians are to be delivered before the tribulation period even begins. But at the same time, I also believe that there will be many who become believers during the tribulation period, including early on in the tribulation period. And I know that we're running short on time, so let me just give you the quick story. You're going to have 144,000 Jewish witnesses who proclaim the gospel of the kingdom all over the world. That's number one. Number two, you've got two prophetic witnesses who have the same powers as Moses and Elijah. And because of the combined effect of all those witnesses, many will become believers during that time. And that's why Revelation 17 makes reference to a great crowd of people who have believed in the Lord during the tribulation period.
And four. Thank you very much, brother. I thought that's what I thought you meant.
Great.
And that's what I thought in your mind you were indicating. Mm-hmm. I just wanted, especially for the listening audience, for there to be that clarification, you know?
Great question.
And,
Thank you, Robert.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for all you do for the body of Christ. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. And indeed, there are, as Scripture talks about, those who will be martyred for their faith during the time of tribulation. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim, I've got a question about Ezekiel 39, where it talks about the armies coming against Israel, and they've got their shields and bows and arrows and spears and such. Mm-hmm. And how they will be destroyed, and the birds of the air and beasts in the field are going to eat their flesh. And that includes horses, so we are talking about horses and horsemen. And it says the same thing in Revelation 19 with the beasts of the earth eating the flesh of the destroyed army. Mm-hmm. What has happened that they're using primitive weapons instead of modern weapons?
Ron, you have just over 60 seconds here. Thanks, Brian.
Well, I'll give you my quick take on that. Number one, these could simply be the words that the prophets used to try to describe something that they had never seen before. Number two, here's a real good possibility. It's well known that Muslims like to do things in the style of Muhammad. And the more that you do something in the style of Muhammad, the more likely it is that you'll be saved and that Allah will welcome you into the afterlife. That being the case, let's recognize that when Muhammad attacked cities, he did so with an army on horses using ancient weaponry. And so it's entirely possible that Muslim armies will move against Israel in this way. It's also possible that there could be an electromagnetic attack launched against these Muslim nations, taking out all of their electronic components and their electric weaponry, thereby requiring ancient forms of weaponry. And for more on this, check out my book.
Okay, thank you. And Ron, in closing here today, why is all of this important for us to know? How should this impact us?
It should impact us because, as we said a little bit earlier, the fact is that New Babylon is one-tenth of the book of Revelation. And anything that is one-tenth of the book of Revelation means that it's something that we need to understand. And just as Jerusalem is the primary city of God, so Babylon and New Babylon is the primary city that is against God. And if you want to understand God's plan for the future, such that it can change your own life in the present, then it's really a non-option for you to ignore the book of Revelation and what it says about New Babylon.
Yeah. Ron Rhodes, our guest today. His website, ronrhodes.org, ronrhodes.org. Ron, thank you for being with us here today.
My pleasure.
And folks, again, the book is New Babylon Rising. It's available at half off through September 30th, vcy.com, vcy.com, or 1-888-722-4829. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.